Welcome to News Over Brews, the only podcast that breaks down the best of this week's pop culture over a nice cold beer. Sponsored by PopBreak.com. I am your host and moderator, Al Manarino. On this week's episode, we talk about the announced headliners for this year's Glastonbury Music Festival, the cancellation of one of our favorite shows, and a much-needed reboot of a cult favorite comic book is the subject of this week's trailer talk. With me, as always, is the Sultan of Swing, Lucas Jones.
You know, they say I'm strictly rhythm, and I don't like to make it cry or make it sing. But they'd be lying, because I live for a bitchin' guitar solo.
And the once third member of Hall & Oates, Ryan DeMarco.
For all you fans out there, just so you know, you make my dreams come true. Doop, doop, doop.
Hearing Ryan's terrible rendition of that song really makes me want to watch 500 Days of Summer. But we don't have any time for that right now. We do have time for Lucas's beer review. Luke?
Well, this week, Al actually sort of made the suggestion. He bought a variety pack and said, pick one that's on this because I'm not buying anything else. So we did. We picked up Flying Dogs Raging Bitch Belgian Style IPA. It is an 8.3% alcohol by volume. So again, Al has ruined our trend of low alcohol beers. It's available year-round. Comes in at a 60 IBU bitterness rating. It's made with caramel malts, warrior hops, Columbus hops, and Amarillo hops, and El Diablo Belgian yeast. So this is an IPA that's essentially brewed to give it more of a yeasty flavor, more of that, not so much bready, but I'll stick with yeasty backbone that you expect from a hardcore Belgian beer. I immediately pouring it, we poured it into a goblet-style glass. We immediately got hit with a crazy smell. Just the it really packs a punch. It's what Ryan described it as, I think, a Van Damme roundhouse kick to the face.
Oh yeah.
It was hoppy and it was yeasty and it was a very thick head actually. And when you actually get to tasting it, let me get a little taste here. It's you're getting IPA almost exclusively. But that, like I said, that little bit of yeasty backbone to it kind of breaks it up and makes it, to be honest, I think it makes it bitter for some reason. More bitter than a 60 IBU beer would let on. Because I've had beers with much, much higher IBU ratings. I've had an IPA that had question marks next to the IBU rating. So, Al shaking his head at me. But it tastes a lot more bitter than it lets on. And I don't know if that's the alcohol so much or the Belgian style. What do you think, Ryan?
What a bitch. This thing hit me like a boxing glove filled with bricks. I could just take the impact from the first sip. It just sets you back. It reminds me that Belgians make the best beer. You know what? Every single one that we've had on this show, or you know, we have in our personal life, you just have to sit back and admire it and just love this beer that's in your glass. The yeast, I got a lot of the yeast. I got like a citrusy, I'm gonna say a citrusy kind of taste from it, and it really like it kind of sits in your mouth and it kind of in the digestion system of your body. It just kind of stays with you. And that's what I love about this beer. It's something that I'll remember for a long time to come. Flying Dog Raging Bitch is one of the best we've had on this show, and I'm really excited to be having it right now.
And make no mistake, it is an extremely heavy beer. You know, when you think of Belgians, you don't necessarily think of heavy, but for whatever reason, it kind of bucks the trend of the names that it comes with. And it is brewed in Maryland, which is nice. But Belgian style beers have always been a friend of mine. For whatever reason, are sort of attracted to that style of beer. However, I do like the pine, the woodsiness that I'm sort of getting with the hops. Yeah. I'm really liking that. You know, sometimes Belgians can be too sweet. And when I say sweet, I don't mean like sugary sweet, but like fruity sweet. So I'm really liking this drier pine and hop flavors here. Al, since this was your choice, I'll give you last dibs on the review.
Well, you know, our last couple of episodes, you know, we've been doing this over Skype, and there's been some miscommunication about what beer we're buying, and I haven't been able to do the last couple of reviews, so I'm very excited that you guys listened to me. And Lucas, about buying the variety pack, I regret nothing, and but I was definitely intrigued about getting the Raging Bitch in the variety pack because it was a beer that I had a few years ago that initially I didn't really like, and you know over time I started drinking a lot more beers, more bitter beers.
After and maturing, going,
yeah, I've matured. The beer has matured, but now now going back to it, I'm still not 100% like crazy about it, and I was trying to think about it for the last couple of minutes, like why, and. I mean, I love the ABV. I love, you know, if you know me on this show, I love, you know, the higher alcohol content beers because it's less for me to drink to get me drunk, which is great. What I love the taste of this beer, but I didn't like, you know, how, like, not even how bitter it was because I do like my bitter beers, but it was just like, it was almost like an unnecessary bitter. And it's weird because I usually am a big fan of the Belgian beers. But I have to go completely the opposite way with Ryan. Ryan said this is one of the best beers we had on our show. I'm not going to say it's one of the worst. It's just not one of my favorites. But overall, it's definitely enjoyable. It's not something I would recommend to someone who's first starting out drinking different types of craft beer. No. Absolutely not.
Is this your first beer? Have a Raging Bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, you've only had Coors Light your entire life? Here's a Raging Bitch. No, I would never do that to someone. You got to ease them into it, especially with the Belgians. And but like I said, it's not my favorite, but I'll drink it.
Well, I mean, this is... I would not describe this as a Belgian, necessarily. I think as far as... If you're trying to assign it to a style... It shares very, very little of the qualities that a Belgian does. I would say the only thing that it shares is that slightly yeasty finish. Mm-hmm. This is a really strong IPA through and through. The whole way down, it's IPA. That very yeasty finish at the end is what gives it that Belgian. So don't classify it as a Belgian. You know, that would be like classifying an alternative rock song as heavy metal because they used a power chord one time.
I wouldn't do that.
It's still good, though. So if you like strong IPAs and you like stuff that's really bitter, I would go for it. Ryan, do you have anything else you want to add?
I'm kind of curious. What would you pair with this?
Well, I would probably pair it with, you know, it's funny how all beers go well with barbecued or grilled food. But you have to change up the flavors a little on this one. Go with something a little spicier. So you're talking jerk chicken, Cajun chicken, anything with cayenne. Wasabi flavors, ginger flavors. So something a little spicier, something a little bolder, something that won't be afraid to be paired with a beer whose name is Raging Bitch.
Something that's not born in the dark.
Exactly. So that's what is it? Flying Dogs Raging Bitch, Belgian style IPA. Definitely fantastic, but as we always like to say, another beer that you got to watch out for that alcohol by volume level because it is definitely not a lightweight.
I'm going to go play dead now.
Thank you, Lucas, for that fantastic review, as always, even though me and Ryan did contribute a little bit, but not that much. We're going to go into our first bit of news, go into some, I guess, very exciting music news for people who can afford going to this festival. It was just recently announced that Metallica, of all bands, would be headlining the Glastonbury Music Festival, which is the music, like one of the largest music festivals in the entire world. Past headliners have been, you know, most recent years, I'm trying to think, I know Coldplay did it a couple years ago, Jay-Z did it once as well, I think back in 07. It's a very, not prestigious festival, but it's just a very, what's the word I'm looking for? It's people are very, very picky on who is the headliner. So, and I know a lot of people were hoping that Oasis would reunite this year and headline, but that was absolutely not the case. So, Lucas, since you are not only a metal fan, but one of the biggest Metallica fans, what do you think about this?
I mean, naturally, it's fantastic, you know. And Glastonbury is known for having acts that go around the entire range of music, except for heavy metal. It's like people try to think that heavy metal doesn't exist. They try to ignore it. And they say, oh, well, nobody likes heavy metal, so why should we have them at Glastonbury? Well, that's not true. You don't get to be Metallica without people enjoying your music. So I'm very happy that Metallica is going to be at Glastonbury, because Metallica at Glastonbury is like Jackie Robinson coming to the major leagues. It's that first act that breaks the barrier, and then it's just a flood afterwards. So maybe, who knows, in 10 years, if they're all still alive, we'll see, you know, Megadeth there or something like that. But I think it's great. And, you know, especially looking at the rest of this lineup, not that I don't like the rest of the lineup. You got guys like Arcade Fire, Dolly Parton, Jack White, The Black Keys, Robert Plant, Ed Sheeran. I mean, Rodrigo y Gabriela. It's good. It's a great lineup. But you need that heavy band. You need that other genre that Metallica brings. So as a heavy metal fan, I'm really excited to see them. I'm sad that I won't be able to go because it's so expensive and I'm super, super broke. But I think it's cool. I think it adds a little bit of diversity. Now, Al, you are someone who doesn't... Not you don't listen to Metallica. You do listen to Metallica. But you don't listen to heavy metal like I do. But your bands are more often featured at Glastonbury. So what's your view on this? Because there are a couple of people out there, and I couldn't find the interview, unfortunately, but I was reading about how a few people were not happy that Metallica was headlining.
Here's the thing. When, like I said, people are incredibly picky when it comes to the headliners of Glastonbury, and I don't understand why, because there's so many music festivals out there. You know, New York has the Governor's Ball, there's V-Fest, there's, I think, Free Fest, there's tons, Coachella, you know, Austin City Limits. There's tons of music festivals, especially, you know, throughout the festival season this summer. And you see a lot of the repeat names. So, like, say, like, Jack White. Jack White's got an album coming out. So, obviously, he's, like, at every festival, and he is. Outkast is headlining, like, almost every festival except Glastonbury, which is kind of surprising. But, you know, yeah, you do see those, like, those alternative rock bands, those indie rock bands. That's what makes the festivals. And then there's these really random but awesome additions, like Metallica. And like I said, a few years ago, they had Jay-Z at Glastonbury. Rap is almost not even included in Glastonbury. I mean, if you look at this lineup, you don't see many rappers. You see Chance the Rapper, who literally has rapper in his name. But, you know, like MIA, who's not even, I mean, I wouldn't even consider her, she's more of an indie, artist than a you know, a full-fledged rapper. So it's a very odd festival in the sense that it hasn't broken hasn't broken barriers that much. It's not a very integrated festival where you get a little bit of everything. So you get that one act, like you said Metallica, you know. Hopefully they open the doors for more metal bands. But then you get the people who are, you know, true Glastonbury goers, or, you know, people who are patrons to this festival. And you have them, you know, complain about, like, oh, it's losing its, you know, the reason we go here is because we only want to hear these artists. So who decides, really? Who decides what artist should be there and what, you know, who shouldn't? So I feel like people should just kind of go with it. You're going to see your favorite people regardless. Just don't go to the stage that Metallica is going to. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, in my mind, it's, you know, God forbid that you expose yourself to other kinds of music.
God forbid.
You know, as a metalhead, I constantly run into the problem of, you know, at parties or social gatherings, like, you know, people going, oh, like, I just heard this band. Oh, that's great. I just heard this band. And then you go, oh, guys, I just listened to Satan's new album and it was pretty good. And they're like, oh. And then you get ostracized for the rest of the evening. You know, everyone's up for sharing music as long as it's not heavy metal. So exactly. I think it's good. And you know what? If it like kills the vibe, man, for like some of the people that are there, oh well. That's what metal is supposed to do. It's about not playing by the rules, I guess. So, Ryan, I want to kind of get you in on a different part of the discussion.
Yes.
I hope you don't mind.
No, I don't. That's why I'm here.
He was taking a nap.
He was taking a quick
nap. You woke me up.
The 8.3, I think. The 8.3 and the heat finally got to him.
This is, yeah.
But so I'm looking at some of these other people on here. And right. You pointed out Deltron 3030 that we talked about on our yet-to-be-released segment, Overtime, which will be coming out later this week. But are there any other acts that stand out to you as either being... like surprises or people that you think are being really good will be really good?
There's a ton of them. I'm looking at this whole list and I'm like, wow. Yeah, I mean, like, it's tremendous. This list is crazy. I mean, but there's also like a ton of them. Like, really? Like Blondie? Like, oh my God.
You lay off of her.
I like Blondie, but there's Blondie, there's Thunderbirds or Go, Fatboy Slim. I'm like, there's a ton of them. But you know what? It's also great because it leads to a more diverse audience, which, you know, I was agreeing with you guys completely. I don't understand why, you know, rap, even though I don't like it, rap and heavy metal, it's kind of excluded. Even country. I don't see country on here.
No.
They're
like niche. Like, it's just like they have their own festivals. Like, people kind of segregate them. And I can understand that, too, because it's a different type of music, but still.
Exactly. Just, I think it's dumb to exclude entirely. I think it all should be together, mashed into one show. I really don't see the dispute over this. I think it's kind of nonsense. I back Metallica 1,000%. F the naysayers.
Well, you heard it here. F the naysayers. Metallica is headlining Glastonbury. Hopefully it's televised. I remember a couple of years ago they televised Coldplay's set, but I mean that was like I think through a like specific deal with Palladia. Eventually it will be on TV, but hopefully we get to see like some type of live stream. They've been doing that with festivals, and it'd be great to see their set. So
Metallica.
So look out for that. I know Lucas is excited.
Woo!
Moving into television news, some terribly sad news came last week. This week, all the major companies were talking about, you know, what shows were getting renewed, canceled, and what new series have been picked up. We briefly talked about it last episode that the CW has picked up the Flash series, Fox, I believe, has picked up Gotham, and NBC has picked up Constantine. You know, some very, very exciting properties that we here at News Over Bruiser, we can't wait for. These are some pretty awesome shows that they got in the pipe that we're actually going to be talking about Constantine in this week's trailer talk. So, but one of the only very depressing news that we got was one of our favorite shows of all time, Community. NBC has chosen to cancel it after 5 seasons. Now, I've been crying ever since, crying myself to sleep every night. It's been rough, terribly rough. Actually, one of the first articles I've ever written was the 10 best pop culture references in Community. So this show has been, for the last couple of years, it's been a very big part of my life. I really do love this show. And the 5th season, when it came back with Dan Harmon coming back as showrunner, it was one of the best seasons. And I was very looking forward to finally seeing 6 seasons in a movie, the thing that we've been promised since season 3. So I'm deeply saddened by this, obviously. I'm holding back the tears right now. Lucas, you're also a huge fan of Community. What do you think about NBC's decision?
Well, it's not the first time that NBC has made a decision to cancel a series that had a huge cult following. For those of you who are, for our older viewers out there, you remember NBC canceled Star Trek after, I believe, 3 seasons back in the 70s?
It was 3.
And obviously, you know, that was the end for Star Trek. No one ever made another Star Trek episode or movie after that.
Nope.
Yeah, I don't even remember that show.
No.
Is it even popular today?
I don't think so.
Nah.
Not at all.
No.
It Good definitely. Move. Yeah, it definitely hasn't spawned 2 terrible movies directed by J.J. Abrams. But moving away from that...
completely opinionated.
you know, it's the kind of thing where you know, it has a cult following and it's a good show, but NBC doesn't care about cult followings or that it's a good show. They care that it's bringing in money, and they care that it's pulling in the viewers, and it's not doing either of those things. And you can make arguments for days whether or not that's because NBC kind of jerked them around a little bit, which they did. And they made it very difficult, I think, for the show to succeed. But, you know, again, you can make that argument or not, but it doesn't change the situation that the show is not successful. And so from a purely business standpoint, they have to kill it. It's kind of all there is to it, unfortunately. You know, hopefully it'll get picked up by somebody else in the day and age of Netflix and Hulu and all those places. Hopefully it'll get picked up, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, I've always had a problem with NBC ever since two of my favorite shows. They did produce two of my favorite shows, and they treated them terribly. My favorite comedy of all time was Scrubs, and talk about jerking a show around. You know, whether it was poor advertisement or changing the schedule and the day that it was on, NBC. You know, they have problems with ratings and all of these like original shows, but like I'm pretty sure it's their fault because they don't market them that well. And of course, the other biggest mistake I would say would be Heroes, but I think they even acknowledged what they did wrong with that show, and now that it's coming back this season with a miniseries called Heroes Reborn. So, I mean, NBC is really not in the best place right now. They actually canceled their one of their big properties, Revolution, as well, which that was very surprising to me. But it just goes to show you that nothing on NBC is doing well. Parks and Recreation is like one of their only successful comedies right up there with Community, and now that's going to be getting a 13-episode last season, season 7, which is terribly depressing as well. It's another great show. But now, Ryan, back to Community. You know, nowadays we get to see these shows that, you know, end too soon get new life on avenues such as Netflix and Hulu. People do Kickstarter projects for them. It's great. Where do you think, if anywhere, do you think Community will be picked up?
Well, you know, that's a good question. I can tell probably since, you know, over the weekend, the show got canceled officially on Friday. And I can just imagine that conversation. You see it in movies all the time. Dan, I'm sorry, we're going to have to cancel Community. What? No, I'm sorry. I know. It's got a nice, sizable cult following, but, you know, it's business. I hate that phrase. It's just business. I understand. Like, if it doesn't make a certain profit for them, they cut it, no matter how big the following. Star Trek, Firefly, thousands of other shows that have been cut premature. Mm-hmm. This is no exception. Community, as horribly advertised as it was, as you know, I had a little bit to say with that too. NBC is terrible. They're terrible showrunners. They do not advertise any of their shows at all. However, now that Community is, you know, done postmortem, I believe, you know, since Hulu owns the streaming rights, Comedy Central has it in syndication. I believe, if I had to guess, I would say Amazon might be the best.
Really?
Yeah, you know, they're on a hot streak right now. They just signed a deal with HBO not too long ago. I don't exactly remember the specifics, but you know, they're on fire right now. They're constantly pulling out series and testing them out, testing the waters, seeing what kind of picks up. You know, Netflix did it with Arrested Development. You know, they're also a giant possibility too. But for some reason, I have a gut feeling Amazon is going to, you know, pick up the slack. They're going to get the hint, hey, you know, Community might not have been great for business on NBC standards, but it has a sizable following. It will make them some money. It will give them a lot more attention since it's a beloved comedy. You know, I got into it this past season. It was hilarious. I loved it. They're going to get some attention if they pick it up. If I was the executive at Amazon, I would be paying attention to this, and you know, I'd be getting a few ideas if everyone else isn't already. Netflix, you know, Hulu, as you said, anyone else who's interested in making money and you know, generating a better business for themselves. I believe Amazon, you know, they put out fairly good series, fairly good episodes. I've watched a few of them from the new stuff that they're, you know, testing the waters with. I believe this would be a safe bet for a Community. You know, it's kind of second nature these days when a show gets canceled, Drake. You know, it's not completely hopeless. You know, you're like, oh, you know, it can come back. Mm-hmm. This seems to be the new thing these days. Shows can come back. So, you know, not all hope is lost. My money's with Amazon.
Wow. I mean, I didn't even think about Amazon, and that actually brings up a good point. Like Netflix, when they announced that they were taking Arrested Development, I believe that drew a lot of people to, like, oh my God, I got to get Netflix now. Arrested Development was like one of my favorite shows. Amazon would be really smart for them to, that would be their, you know, their customer getter, really. Like if they wanted to draw in more business, that would be perfect. Perfect.
That's a smart move.
It's very smart.
It doesn't have the biggest audience, but it has the most, like, I feel like the Community has like the most, like, driven audience.
That's very true. And I was going to say that the only problem that they may face is I know Hulu has the U.S. digital rights, and I feel like Netflix has been airing the episodes on, I think, in either in the U.K. or Canada. So,
well, like I said, Netflix.
So it's a little bit everywhere.
They would be a close second.
Oh, absolutely. If anyone would do it, who has already seen that model has worked, is Netflix. I would even say Comedy Central would be great because A, they already have the syndication rights, and this is the channel that resurrected Futurama as well. So everyone kind of forgets that, you know, that show was originally on Fox, and it was canceled, and because of how well the reruns did on Comedy Central, they brought it back for a few more seasons. So, you know, we might be able to see the same thing with Community, but we just got to hope that, you know, these stars of the show and also the creators and writers, they, you know, they don't get other jobs and they can focus on making more episodes. But I think with this fan base, we're going to get some closure some way. And the cool thing about Community, too, is every year they thought they were going to get canceled. So almost each season, the last episode of that season acted as a season finale just in case, or a series finale. So, I mean, we'll get closure some way. If Dan Harmon has to handwrite a comic book explaining how the show ends and send it to each fan, he'll do it because that's how, you know, passionate he is about the show. So,
well, I not to cut you off real quick.
No,
I was reading a thing. Dan Harmon is kind of up in the air with him right now. He said he's kind of iffy on pursuing the finale. But you know what he said. He is open, however, you know, he's furious right now, you know, for lack of a better word, he's mad about the decision, rightfully so. You know, he kind of put his blood and sweat and, you know, all the effort into the show, and they kind of just cut the legs out from under him. So he's going to think about it. He said, but he said he's very open to it. He could always change his mind, and, you know, it gives a lot of hope. It doesn't give a definite answer, which drives a lot of people crazy, but there is hope, and that is something.
Yes. So we'll give you any updates on the possibility of Community coming back. You can see on our Facebook page, but we'll probably talk about it in a future podcast, hopefully, if there's anything official. So look out for that. Moving on to our final topic of the night, and usually we save the best for last. We are going to go to trailer talk for another TV trailer, surprisingly. Like I mentioned before, a lot of the major networks have been releasing teaser trailers for their upcoming programs, these brand new shows. We've seen trailers for the Broadchurch remake Grace Point, which looks like the exact same show. We've seen a few other trailers and, you know, some posters and all this kind of cool stuff, you know, about like upcoming shows like Agent Carter on ABC and Fox's Gotham. We saw the Gotham trailer last week, which is awesome. But now this week, NBC, who we just completely bashed about 2 minutes ago, they've released a trailer for their reboot, pretty much, of Constantine. It's based off the very famous Hellblazer comic books. And it was originally, was it 2004, the Constantine movie with Keanu Reeves?
I have no idea what you're talking about. I never saw a movie with Keanu Reeves and Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, he never saw it, which means it was a horrible movie that he actually witnessed. So, we've seen the first footage, and I gotta say, I was very intrigued. And they're going to be pairing it up with Grimm on Friday nights, which, at first... You got to think NBC is airing a show specifically on one of the worst nights to air a show. And that would alarm some people. And yes, I'm already alarmed. I'm fearing the worst because Grimm is a cool show, too. I never really got into it, but it's very popular. It's got a good following. And it's a show that NBC decided to keep on for a while, which is cool until next year. But now they're pairing a brand new show with it on Friday nights, which is kind of... It's where TV shows go to die, which is, I'm a little scared, but the first trailer for it is a long trailer. It's like a 3-minute trailer kind of introducing you to the entire premise of the show, and I'll send that to Rye. Rye, what's Constantine about?
You know, you kind of caught me off guard there. Ooh, kind of went British there for a second. You caught me off guard there with that. You know, I won't kind of give away the specifics. I'll give you a general, broad, kind of touristy version of it. It's about this guy, John Constantine, who kind of sends demons back to hell. I'll just give you that. Because if you watch the trailer, it really gives you a good grasp of how the show is going to be and how NBC is going to kind of take it. So, you know, I won't sit here and I will give you the specifics. You can see it for yourself. It looks very exciting. You know, that's a very, very, very 5-second description of the show, and it looks really good. Am I explaining it right now? Should I just go into it?
Go for it.
From the footage I saw, I was impressed. I'm kind of usually skeptical about these things, especially Gotham. I was skeptical at first, but when I heard they were making a Constantine show, I was kind of like, this is perfect. You know, this is a perfect TV show you can have. I don't really like the show too much, but Supernatural, it kind of leads the way a little bit. It's kind of, in a way, Al's shaking his head.
I'm agreeing.
In a way, closely related to it.
Yeah, like a less crazy True Blood.
Yeah. I don't like the show, as I said. You know, I've seen a couple episodes. I wasn't impressed. This, however, if it follows the comics, which I've read, you know, some of, it can be really, really cool. The movie. As much as as I said a couple seconds ago, I bashed it. It wasn't terrible.
Really,
it had a few cool elements. Believe it or not, Keanu Reeves was not bad as John Constantine. However, this one, they're following more of the roots. It looks really, really gothic, engrossing. It looks really, really enriching with the textures, the concept, the character. The characters that they're kind of displaying. My one question in the comic, if you've read it, John Constantine smokes, and he did that in the movie as well. It kind of makes me wonder. It seems like a basic thing, but you know, it's part of his character. Will he smoke on the TV show? They don't do that anymore. It's kind of an interesting point. You kind of wonder. If they're going to do that, it might seem like nonsense and like a little thing, but it's what you wonder if they're going to cut out a little, as they may see it, in insignificant detail. But however, otherwise, the footage looked awesome. I can't wait for it. I keep wondering if this is going to, I hope it competes with Gotham nicely because I know everyone's going to kind of flood to Gotham. I hope this finds its audience. Because I know NBC, if it doesn't find its audience in the first 4 minutes, they're going to axe it. So I kind of hope that this finds its footing very quickly. The story is good. The writing is sharp. The acting is exquisite. The effects are not cheesy. He smokes. And I just hope it's wonderful. You know, I need a new show to get into. I hope this is wonderful. Fellas, I'm done talking. My mouth is dry. I need more of that raging bitch. Please take it away. Your thoughts, Lucas, Al, go ahead.
Well, as the non-comic book person in the group, it was cool. I even said, are we going to talk about Constantine this week? Because I actually saw the trailer, as a trailer on a YouTube video that I was trying to watch. And I was like, oh, you know, if it's like a TV trailer, you know, I'll check it out. And I was like totally blown away by it. So I'm kind of excited because I know there was a subpar movie that was made. I didn't personally watch it. And I'm also not really a fan of the horror genre. But this looks like it's going to be a nice mix of like action suspense with a little supernatural going on. So I'm excited. I'll probably check it out and see what it's got going on.
Yeah, I'm excited as well. And I feel like this upcoming TV season, we're going to get a lot of good shows. I mean, minus Community, obviously, because it's gone forever. But I mean, yeah, like I said, we're going to get a Constantine show, Agent Carter, the Flash series, the spinoff of Arrow. As well as eventually, I know we're going to get a Preacher television series through FX from Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, which I mentioned last podcast. We're getting a lot of great comic book adaptations, not just in the movies, but now on television as well. So if they're done right, we can see these properties go on for a while, which would be really cool. It's live action comic books. And before we wrap up another installment of News Over Brews, I just want to mention that we will be at Special Edition New York City, the New York Comic Con spinoff that's going to be next month. And we're going to be covering that as News Over Brews and hopefully getting some interviews and with comic book creators and writers and artists, as well as we're going to be doing some panel recaps as well. So that's going to be our first press assignment as News Over Brews. So we're very excited about that. And that's going to wrap it up for another episode of News Over Brews. I'm Al Manarino.
I'm Lucas Jones.
And I'm Ryan DeMarco. And if I could do it all over again, I would do it for you.
Thanks for listening.